Hey, Carson, can you hear me okay?
I can, yeah.
Excellent. Well, I have on the line Carson Schultz, who is the executive pastor at Ecclesia in Houston. And, over the past couple of weeks, Carson, I feel like we've become friends and united in a way that's pretty exciting to think of. You start seeing on the news that trouble's coming, and I know for us at Christ Church, you know, we wanted to do something to make a bit of a difference, and in knowing a little bit about your church and knowing how ambitious you guys are to be the tip of the spear and representing Christ in your community, as hard as it is to admit that it took a bit of a crisis to bring out the best in you, it's been quite a couple of weeks. How things been at Ecclesia this past couple of weeks?
Yeah, it feels like we have been catching up to the needs, and I think when crisis hits, you often find yourself with opportunities to respond that you may not have had prior. And so it's been neat to be in Houston and to continue to be excited about the work that God's doing here, but even finding opportunities to connect with other churches and folks who are out responding to the people who are in need has just been, man, it's been such a neat thing for the city. I think this bond that people from Houston have sort of formed, which is not unusual, right? When you get in crisis,
sure.
that's where friendships are formed. And we always say, the easy life doesn't really bring people together. So, sadly, we've been given the opportunity to bond and, for better and worse. And it's been neat to see the way that the city has come together, but it's been pretty hectic and ongoing, but it, continually reminded that it is absolutely the work that we're called to do. And,
exactly.
and that's been refreshing and renewing,
Good. Well, we're sitting Tuesday afternoon. So it was probably about 2.5 weeks ago that, that stuff got real for you guys. Give us a quick snapshot of, how the church weathered, how the city weathered.
Sure.
Know your staff and congregation, are sprawled over a huge city. Some parts got worse than others, but what's that been like?
Yeah.
What was that experience like for you guys?
Yeah, so we're located in downtown Houston, and we've got we've actually have a few properties around the city, but a second campus that we're about to open on the west side. And so my family lives close to downtown, and we were fortunate not to flood, but, started really Saturday night when the storm blew in and the rain started to dump so excessively that most of the drains and the bayous and were starting to fill up. And so it was really, we had sort of felt like on Saturday, because the storm came in, I think on Friday night, we had sort of felt like we had weathered it, and we were, maybe we didn't get hit that hard. And the weather reporters all were saying, it's still coming, it's still coming, it's still coming. quit celebrating, because.
Well, what do the weather people know anyways? Come on now.
Sure. They seem pretty accurate these days, from what they can predict. It's incredible. So we were really glued. And then really just starting to check in on staff. And so because we're central, we've got folks both on staff and in the congregation who are from all pockets of the city, really almost representing every zip code in Houston. And so so just trying to check in on different teams. And then it felt like on Sunday was when, sort of crisis management mode started to kick in. And so I've got a small team of folks who work kind of in the central communications. We deal with the website and the facilities, and we're dealing with the database. And so, Chris had actually, sadly, he had been out at a good friend's, a family member had passed away. And so he was at a funeral in Utah, in Nevada. And so wasn't even able to get back to Houston. And so he had sort of, gotten back to Central Texas. And so we got on the phone with a couple of folks and started to just think about, what's our response? What do we need to start to, gather information about, and so my team really got in and started to build different forms and intakes and ways for people to send us their needs and start to develop the ways that we need to respond. What do we need to find out from folks? And meanwhile, trying to sort of manage what are happening in the homes of the staff, who's safe and who's dry and who has power and who doesn't. And our central admin communications person, she has a young daughter, and so she had actually evacuated with her mom up to Dallas.
Mm-hmm.
And I told her, I said it was actually a real blessing that she was out of town, because she always had power. We knew she'd have internet. She had childcare. And we needed her to kind of be central office, you know, because I.
And she was running the office from the
literally,
safest, driest place in the community.
But,
well, out of
totally,
the community,
yeah.
But.
And so we really started like on Sunday feeling, you know, but the rain kept coming, and so we would get, you know, pulled, and new things would happen, and new unknowns would come, and so just I feel like, you know, probably from the first week even, I don't know that I've spent so much time on the phone as I have the last 2 weeks. But really, first of all, ensuring the safety of folks and understanding, okay, who's dry and who is wet and who's available to respond and who's not. And you know, one of the things I've learned through this process, and you just deal with this in crisis, and I tend to have personally, sort of the hat that I want to fix things. I want to get things right. I want to make sure that we get it done. And I've just understood the need for both the church's response and pastor's response, because there is such a sensitive situation happening when you find someone in their home and they're needing actual work to be done in their home, but they're also needing an emotional, spiritual healing to happen in their life, because not only are you tearing out their sheetrock, but you are taking their life's possessions and you're sticking them on the curb, and you are finding this family who has, they've birthed both of their little boys in their bedroom at home birth, and this house is about to, you know, needs to get torn down. And there's these, you know, there's these emotional attachments that we have to the places in our life that are represented, you know.
Yeah.
It's not just stuff. It's a relationship with that stuff too. And that stuff isn't always bad. We always say, you know, well, it's just stuff. It's not a big deal. And you're like, well, it is stuff, but it's also my daughter's, you know, it's the thing she got baptized in, or my great grandmother gave her that, and she's no longer with us.
And so when a group of volunteers come through to help clean out a house, it's not just trash. You don't just throw work gloves on and drag it out. To that family, those are things that give them a sense of identity and comfort. And so some huge ministry opportunities, I'm sure.
Oh, it's incredible. And it's the unique nature and the blessing of being able to be the church in this season. And there's a lot of wonderful folks doing incredible work and loving people sacrificially in this time. And we've just sort of asked folks at Ecclesia to do that work, but to do it with a little bit more of a sensitive nature than we all think about. You know, we just don't always understand what that means. And if you haven't experienced it, it's really hard to understand it's from someone else's perspective what that looks like.
Yeah,
so,
definitely.
So we kind of started getting those processes in place in order to be able to respond with the kind of compassion that was needed. And I was, you know, grateful for that part of the team. I'm grateful for the pastoral part of the team where they're able to come in and really carry out those volunteers and the teams that are needed. You know, our pastors have been working groups of volunteers primarily because we really want that heart of Ecclesia, the hands and feet of Jesus, the way we talk about being, you know, Christ's love to people who are feeling like, does God really care? I mean, all this stuff has happened to me. Does he care about me? That pastor can then represent that to people and help volunteers understand that in a little bit better context, so that when we have even strangers who come in who want to come and serve, we want that touch to be, you know, the love and care and compassion that we would expect of our pastoral team. So they've been really incredible to be on site and different. We've created different hubs around the city. We've got, you know, different Ecclesians who have hosted these hubs and been able to kind of work materials and supplies out of their garage or out of their living room and then work the neighborhoods. Right. So you're really, and I say work, that sounds like a crass term, but really be able to be a representative of the church in their neighborhood. And then, hey, how can we just love all these neighbors? What do they need? What do they you know, need most from us in this season? And so starting with the Ecclesians in the city and then kind of moving into the neighborhoods that they kind of are attached to. And that's, again, it's every neighborhood. The flood was one of those scenarios in a city as geographically broad as Houston is and so diverse, you know, that it didn't just find itself in the northwest corner or the southeast corner of the city. It was very literally in all four corners, and downtown. And so there is no lack for need. There is that's to be certain. But
you mentioned that Christie, your lead pastor, was out of town. Or what was it like for him when he got back into town? Give us a snapshot of what it was like in his chair, you know, not only mobilizing the congregation, but I mean, he's got a pretty, you know, pretty unique platform beyond Central Texas. Give us a sense of what that was like for him and what you saw in him.
Yeah,
I know he wanted to be on the call with us, but finally he's got a football game to go to. So I'm so happy he's able to spend some time with his crew this afternoon.
Yeah, no, I am too. And it's, you know, it's been nice. He was able to get back to Texas. The closest he could get into was Austin. I think his wife and kids had actually gone up to Waco where his daughter's in college. And so they were there and, you know, in a lot of ways kind of running Central Command from there. But, in so many ways, because of that broad reach and because of the relationships and in so many ways, the kind of respect that Equity has earned through his leadership over the years, that being able to reach out and understanding what are the ways that folks from outside of Houston can be a blessing to what's happening in Houston right now, he really got a chance to focus his attention on those things. And then what we started to develop was a first call from Chris. So we joked that, because Chris has had the same cell phone for, 25 years. And so he was just making calls that if you came through the needs form, most likely you were somebody from Ecclesia who had been, in touch with someone. We said, hey, would you fill out a needs form? And, they say the process, oftentimes people think processes, make things feel impersonal. And, I'm just a barcode and a huge list of people. And the reality of the process for us is it allows us to be more personal, not less, because we can get you into a process where we can follow up. We can track what's happening. We can track if teams been to your house. We know the supplies you need. We know who, what neighborhood you're in. And so we started to really try to process it for him so that he could make the first call, because that first call, when you hear from, and you may not have even, who Chris is. He preaches every weekend, but you may have never even met him, in a church as fast as Ecclesia has grown and as wide as a group of people we are, you may never have even met Chris, but you get a call from this number and you're like, who is this? And you take it and like, hey, this is Pastor Chris from Ecclesia. And I heard you guys had a need.
That's remarkable.
And I just wanted to reach out. And so there was a point probably, and he made those calls to every single person for, probably the first 8 or 9 days. And, and so it was really interesting to kind of watch just emotionally that roller coaster of things. Cause we're talking about, these church relationships and folks that are supporting us and giving supplies and sending teams. And then we're also on the ground and he's very literally pastoring those folks through the process, And so, after that first call, we do a follow-up call with a staff member who then, can actually identify, okay, what are the actual needs? What's the timeline? Can you even get into your house? Or you're still flooded out? You're dry. Okay, we need to come in with the team as soon as possible. Let me get that process in place. And so really trying to troubleshoot and develop a relief organization, kind of in a few days.
There's no manual for this, is there?
No, but having that touch point be, okay, Chris got a chance to make those phone calls. We joked after, about the first week and a half. We're like, well, I guess now it's finally time to change your phone number.
Get a new phone number.
everyone in the church has it. And there was also a point where the threshold for, the names that were coming through. I mean, he wouldn't have even recognized every single person who was from Ecclesia, but the second wave of needs and now the third wave and fourth wave are folks who have been blessed by that, who are a part of the church, who said, hey, I've got a coworker, I've got a neighbor, I've got this person that I met at the gym and they have this issue. And so we have sort of felt like in this second, third, fourth wave, Chris, there are other things that we need to be working through and working on. And it's not necessarily the best use of his time at this point. He said, it was funny. He said, I could always tell if they were from Ecclesia because he'd say, hey, this is Pastor Chris. And they would either be like, oh, Chris, thanks so much for calling. Or they'd say, who? Okay. So it occurred to me at that threshold that they didn't really need Pastor Chris's touch, you know,
they just needed someone's
Someone's touch. And so we were able to kind of reallocate some of those things. And, you know, the reality for our staff is that they have just been an unbelievable resource, and people have gotten a chance to really lean into some new gifts and to try some things that we hadn't done before. And really to, I mean, we have just, you know, felt so much love and care from folks from around the country. We've had a few churches who have been friends for a long time that have sent us a staff, and they said, hey, we're going to send you 5 or 10 people. We've got a group of 10 in right now from California. And, and rather than come and muck houses, and they have come in and said, hey, how can we support you guys to do what you're doing organizationally? So one of the most valuable church additions this week has been just a top level administrator who can just come alongside our central kind of operation communications person, and she can just say, give me whatever you need. I'm yours for the week. And
that's cool.
And so it's been a neat way to support us, because I've told a few folks that even this weekend at church, and it would never have occurred to me that, you know, yeah, we can send supplies and we can send money and we can send, but could we send you a resource that was actually made your job better, allowed you to go home and see your children at night, or could they take a certain piece of this relief that, you know, currently is just sort of adding on to the job, not necessarily replacing anything. And so there's still real work. There's still other work to be done. This still
feels
like
got church to do, right? Yeah.
Yeah. But in so many ways, this is what's happening in Houston. So this is the most relevant, needed. I was telling a good friend today who's joined us from Seattle for about a month, and I just said, you know, one of the biggest things that I've realized in my time at Ecclesia and trying to answer the questions that people are asking. So when people come to church and they're maybe disjointed, or they're, you know, not sure that church is really for them, and they're saying, how come the church seems to be answering a lot of questions that I'm not asking? Mm-hmm. And when we begin to answer these questions that they're asking, like, does anyone care about me? Does anyone love me? What am I alone? And we get to answer that question. We have now been given an opportunity to answer that question, and then immediately the opportunity to share God's love just in your presence and your willingness to muck out a house and get really dirty and, you know, bring someone a meal and care about them changes the demeanor of that response, you know. And so it's just been beautiful to see and to be given that opportunity. And I don't want to, you know, say like, oh, it's just been amazing that we had a hurricane. But when I get a chance to step back from it and really see what God is doing through it, in and around it, you know, how he's able to use the opportunities. It's invigorating, frankly.
Yeah,
you know?
It is. Well, so. And you know, it's interesting for us, you know, I mean, we're in Northeast Ohio, you know, we feel so blessed. Matter of fact, this past weekend, our church celebrated our 35th anniversary as a church.
Oh,
you know, we've got
fantastic.
A couple campuses that are growing, and, you know, they're in some ways we couldn't be more excited about what God's doing in the life of our church.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, I think too often churches can get a little focused on what God's doing, you know, in their ministry, at their campus, at their, you know, program, whatever. And
totally.
So for us, you know, I think normally, you know, it's easy to feel like, okay, you do your thing, we'll do our thing. The church up the road will do the next thing. But as we were kind of, you know, praying through, thinking through, how do we respond? You know, the chance to throw a little bit of fuel on the fire of what you guys are doing is a unique chance for us as the, you know, the larger community of faith. And those don't come around often. And so, we're excited to see how our church responded, obviously, and be able to.
Yeah, we are
too. I got a text message from Brian, you know, your creative guy. He's out in the middle of a serve project. He's probably got, you know, a camera in one hand and, you know, boots up to his who knows what. And they, you know, and he's like, hey, let me send you some pictures so you can share them in worship. And to think, you know, here we are Saturday night. You probably still had teams on the ground Saturday afternoon.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, we've got photos up on the screen, and our folks are proud to be able to support you, but to have a sense of unity that, like you said, you don't want to jump up and down and say hooray for a hurricane, but at the same time, there is something special that comes out of a moment like this that I'm sure you guys are seeing firsthand. I don't know that we're sending you any staff members anytime soon. No, kidding.
It's been amazing. I know Chris is actually going to want to shoot a video for you guys that you might be able to share with some folks, whether that's on, you know, social media or in service some point. But just watching, you know, these connections. And I think, you know, it's been fun for me to be on the staff of a church that is both highly regarded and, you know, people care to want to partner with us, and they're sending money and they're sending trailers down and they're sending supplies and they're sending teams. And you just think it's such an honor to kind of be able to be resourced in this way. And I just can't, you know, there's a group even that's bringing stuff out of a church in Georgia that's going to arrive tomorrow. And we just got off the phone with them, and they actually don't have any power right now. And we're saying, like, are you sure you're coming? Like, they said, no, we told you we were coming. We're here to help support you guys. And we're saying, like, we should actually send stuff back with you that you need, because you shouldn't be coming right now. But now that they so adamantly want to support, and I'm like, well, you guys just went through a hurricane. So just to see these relationships, and I mean, the one that we've been able to develop really over text message and some
calls,
it just becomes this piece of, like, you get to be a part of a much greater, larger mission. And I think it's been beautiful. And I love the philosophy that you guys have kind of come through, which is, you know, we feel like we as a church would do this work for our people. And so we actually want to resource the local church in the city that is affected to do that work. And in so many ways, you know, all of the different types of donations have been a huge blessing. But frankly, we're inundated with certain supplies right now. And so having the money to be able to either, resource folks with primarily what we're using the funds for are grocery carts for folks who are in need of groceries. And so, you know, our philosophy in that dynamic, and Chris has spoken to this a few times in the last week or two about empowering somebody with a little bit of money, rather than trying to stock a food pantry where we're not really sure what people want, we're not sure how they would shop. They're probably going to be a lot more careful with that, you know, gift card than they would be if they were just walking into a bunch of canned goods. It's like, that's the best way to resource people. It's actually good to the local economy. Yeah. And so there's been a few neat ways that we've been able to do that. We've partnered with a local grocer here. We've got some matching funds. And so a lot of that money is going to just say, hey, here's $100 worth of groceries, you know? How could that be a blessing to folks, especially for folks who maybe, you know, haven't been able to work for a certain season and for that kind of thing. And so there'll be a lot of work to be done. We're working in a neighborhood right now where we're looking to commit a pretty substantial amount of funds towards the rebuilding process. You know, there's folks that have flood insurance. There's folks that are going to be, you know, connected to FEMA. There's folks that probably won't rebuild. But there are neighborhoods that feel under-resourced at this point. And it's even gotten us talking about, well, maybe there's an opportunity to plant a church in a neighborhood like this. Maybe there's a chance to, you know, to become a real presence there and love people and show people, hey, this is what the rebuilding could look like. There's a lot of folks that have lost a lot and that have plenty of resources. And there's a lot of folks at Ecclesia that, you know, could use our help with the mucking out, but they're probably going to hire a contractor to redo their house. But there's so many folks that are not. And so that's where trying to use some of those funds and understand how to allocate them towards the rebuilding process, which will start, you know, probably sooner than later. I mean, we're just getting into a few neighborhoods on the west side that have literally just, the water has just receded this weekend. But there's a few places there too where, you know, they're about a week or two out from starting to need to actually do a rebuild, you know?
Yeah,
and so,
I love it. As you guys are, you know, just, you know, leading the way, it's, you know, having, you know, resources for those grocery carts, it's having the supplies you need when a team from wherever comes and lands on your campus and you're hosting them for however, you know, it's, you know, stuff like that, you know, it's a privilege to be able to support. And I know it's funny, you sent me a note the other day and it was, I forget exactly what you said, but it was something to, you know, well, maybe someday we'll have the chance to reciprocate or something. And
yeah.
As a
yeah.
staff, we kind of looked at ourselves and said, no, thank you.
That's not
we
why
would
we're
be
doing
just,
it.
We would be just fine if that never happened. But
I know,
maybe
I
together
know.
We can help the next community when the time comes. But it's
well,
it is special. We couldn't be more proud of the good good work you're doing. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Good. No, that's great. That's my my classic scorekeeping nature. I need to stop that. So
well,
my wife tells me that all the time.
Well, and what's I think remarkable is, you know, you guys have done such a good job of, you know, you can't respond in an effective way without some sense of strategy to it. And, you know,
yeah,
as we've gotten
yeah.
to know each other, obviously, you know, your bent is towards building the right system. But,
yeah.
you know, if it's all care and not administrative, well, it's a mess. And at the same
yeah.
time, if it's all administration and no care, we're not really having an impact for Christ. And so we're praying that God's going to use the support that you guys have been able to provide in the obviously weeks and months to come, but beyond, that people are going to sense that, you know, what
yeah.
God's doing through your church is touches their heart in a way that we might not have otherwise had the chance if it wasn't for a tragedy like this. So
yeah, well, we're grateful. We're so thankful for all the ways of the that your church has responded and for the new relationship that we've gotten to form
yeah.
through it. So it's wonderful.
Yeah, definitely.
Thanks so much.
Yeah. Well, hey, thank you so much for your time. Let me say a quick prayer and I'll let you
Great.
Go.
Great. Thanks.
Dear God, I'm so grateful for your good work in our lives and in the lives of our churches. I thank you for Ecclesia. I thank you so much for the way that you have just brought the right people with the right giftedness. I pray that for Carson and Chris and the rest of their team, Father, I pray that they would get the sense that they are exactly in the center of what you're calling them to be in this moment in their city. I pray that they would point people to you in ways that couldn't otherwise be done if it wasn't for a difficult season like this. But I pray that it'll be used by you in a significant way. Father, I pray for their families. This is a season where they've got to be so stretched, and I pray that they would soon enough have a chance to connect and make up for the hard work that you're calling them to do right now. And I pray that in their church, God, people who've been on the sidelines maybe for years would jump in the game. I pray that new leaders would arise, new gifts would be leveraged, and your kingdom would be advanced. We love you. We thank you for calling us to your good work. I appreciate the partnership our churches have, and we trust that you have given us the chance to do something that reflects you well. It's in Christ that we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thanks so
Hey,
much.
Thanks again, partner. Good to connect with you. Blessings.
Absolutely. Appreciate it.
Bye.
Thanks.